John 10, 7, verses 7 to 10. So Jesus said again, I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness.
Okay, thanks. I only need the microphone. Thank you. Somebody from back here want to do one of these for me? Yeah, there you go. Well done.
Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will show you the right way.
Okay, thank you. Can I bring one over here? Thank you.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Thank you. Hello. Okay, so in those three readings, in each one of them, they said something specific about following God, trusting him, following his ways, living life in all its fullness in that first reading. And you know, in that first reading, it said there, Jesus said, I am the gate. Do you know, sometimes when you read things that are in the Bible, you think, well, that might sound a little bit weird. How can somebody be a gate? It might sound a bit weird, mightn't it? But so sometimes when I'm doing assemblies or lessons in school and I say, oh, Jesus said one day, I am the light of the world. And I say to the kids, imagine if your teacher arrives in the classroom one day and said, I am a light. And then they all laugh. Because they see kind of like, well, that doesn't make sense. So we need to dig deep, don't we? We need to unpack that. We need to make sense of it. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the gate? Now, when you all came in this morning, hopefully, you were all given a copy of a gate maze, all right? Some of you will have probably done this already. If you haven't done it yet, please engage with this. Have a look at it. What I need you to do is to work out which gate along the bottom, if you follow the line, you need to do this carefully. We had a little bit of a debate at home about whether some of the lines are a little bit complicated, but I got to the point where I'm like, this will do. Follow one of the lines and you're looking to find out which gate, if you go through that gate, which gate leads you to the reward at the top? Now listen, the reward at the top happens to be a bag of money. The Bible says that we shouldn't worship money. Don't put your treasures in things like that, your focus on things like that. But it just, like, it was a quick and easy image to find. So the money's irrelevant, but it's just better than having a pile of rubbish or a box, a basket of secondhand tissues, isn't it? Right, so just take a couple of minutes. I've got to do some scene shifting while you're doing that. Just take a couple of minutes to have a look at that, and then we'll discuss which was the right one. You won't be in there for too long, okay? And you'll still be able to see me over the top. Just go in there a minute. Right, wait. Okay, so just put that slide up, Neil. So they all look the same, don't they, those three examples. Put your hand up if, for you, the stair gate, bottom left, led to the reward at the top. Why is not everybody's hand up? Okay, right, put your hands down. Right, so the middle one, the farm gate or field gate, whatever it is, who got to the top with that one? Well, hang on a minute. They can't both be right, can they? These things don't work like that. And then the airport gate. I noticed that I've got examples of the gates, except that one this morning. That was slightly challenging to achieve. Right, so who thinks they're right? Right, so, but you can't all be right. No, don't argue with me. You can't all be right. These things don't work like that. Life doesn't work like that, does it? That you can't be right on all those choices. You make a choice, and the one choice leads you to the right place. That's how it works, isn't it? So who's right? Who's right? Which of you, you know you're not putting your hands up anymore, aren't you? Which of you are certain that you chose the right path? David, still very confident, very confident. Right, okay. Now, different ones of you chose different paths and found out actually what you think is the right path is different to the person next to you. And there are three different examples. And this is what I want to unpack a little bit more this morning. We have to think very carefully, don't we? We've got three different examples of gates. Okay, we're coming back to this one in a second. We've got three different examples of gates. What's this one for? What's this one for? Right, hang on, let's clarify this. One person I'm hearing saying a stairgate, Roy is saying to keep my dogs out of the kitchen. Right. Does it work? And the other one goes over the top. Right. Anyone who has these in their house at the moment, do they do the job they're supposed to do? No, you've got the dog thing as well. Okay, let's go back to the humans thing. Does it do the job it's supposed to do? Right, well, I know some families it doesn't. There's a certain family we know whose child, whether you've got one of these or two of these, one on top of the other, can still go over the top of it. That's quite exceptional, I think. But, you know, the thing that always puzzles me is, right, this only works, this only does its job if the responsible adult in the house, that would be Anita, obviously, the responsible adult in the house remembers to shut it. If you don't use it properly, it's not going to work, is it? The other thing is, right, why do they make children's stairgates, or dog stairgates, like see-through? Why do they do that? Because isn't it a little bit more tempting? You know, the child, the dog, whatever, can see straight through, can see what's over here they want to get to. Of course they're going to want to try and climb over the top. Kids, don't do that. I'm not giving you suggestions, okay? So that's one kind of gate. It's there for a purpose, to give some safety and protection, but you have to use it right. Now, here's the edge of the stage. Here's my garden gate. Are you impressed with this? Yeah. Do you know, I sent an email out to a few people saying, you don't happen to have a random spare gate lying around that you could bring to church on Sunday? And I'm like, no. So I made one. Now it's got a door knocker and everything. And look, on the back, it's got all the support structures. Everything's fine, isn't it? Now, surely this is better because you can't see through it, can you? You put a garden gate on the side of your house or wherever. To do what? Why do you do that? Why do you do it? Keep people out, yeah? Stay safe. Any other reason? Keep children in. Keep dogs in. Back on that same theme, right. This though, if you don't lock it, if you don't bolt it on the inside like we do on ours, it's not as safe and secure as it should be, is it? You've got to know what to do with it. Does that make sense? Right. Okay. Now this one here, I borrowed this from preschool because I couldn't get an airport gate here. That was a slight challenge. If you've been here during the week when preschool are here, you know that they have this in more of a straight line rather than like this. It's a barrier to protect their kids and to protect us from them. Okay? If you are an adult, you can see over the top of it and see in or past it. You know when it's safe to go through. If you're a small child, you can't see through this way. But, you know, if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know what to expect... If you don't know what to expect on the inside, you don't know what's going to happen when you open it. Go now, go now. Yeah. Now listen. Oh my goodness. Right. You're very scary today. What have you got under your arm? A dinosaur. See, you don't know, do you, when you can't see through the thing that's there, whether it's going to be safe, whether you're going to be scared by a screaming dinosaur stroke child. Okay, you did a fab job. You're going back to sitting with mummy, okay? Now listen, in that reading we had from John 10, Jesus said, I am the gate, and you can trust me that if you come in and out the way that I lead you, you will be safe. The example that John 10 uses is about a sheep with a shepherd, and the shepherd leading them out to the place of safety and then bringing them a place of pasture and blessing where the sheep munch on the grass or whatever else they can find, and then back to a place of safety in the sheep pen later on where they can be protected. Now, Jesus wasn't saying he personally is a gate, like a wooden gate or a stair gate. That's not what he meant. He said, he was saying, I am just like that. I'm here to help protect you and lead you the right way when you can't see through things, and to keep you safe when you might be able to see something that's attractive and you want to have a go at, but it's not meant for you right now. So I'm going to, you know, show you If you follow me and my ways and my plans, then you can live life in all its fullness. That's what Jesus was explaining in that passage. And in those readings we had, it's just the same. The other readings, in the Jeremiah reading, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, so follow my way. Go through the way that I show you. And then in the Proverbs reading, we're encouraged to trust God in everything. And then we'll be able to make sense of everything that's going on around us. Now listen, that's sometimes a bit tricky, isn't it? Trusting and following God doesn't mean to say our lives won't be a bit challenging at times and there'll be bumps along the way. But Jesus says every time, keep trusting me, keep coming back to me, keep following me. And you can know life in all its fullness as I give you that protection, that courage, that strength, that everything that you need from me.